Okay, we are recording. Well, hello and welcome back to the Stressless Eating Podcast. I'm so happy. We have a really special episode today, a really special guest. I am here with my client and friend and amazing sister, Jenna, who you've actually heard her on the podcast before. She came through the Stressless Eating Program, I think it was a couple of years ago at this point. And she is just a walking example of living and breathing and epitomizing this lifelong journey, this lifelong mastery of just accepting yourself and loving yourself and being gracious with yourself and up-leveling your self-image no matter what comes your way. And so now Jenna has become one of two ambassadors. You'll hear from our other ambassador too coming up in a couple of weeks, who's just really helping me behind the scenes and taking things to the next level and really paying it forward to the next generation of women that are coming through stressless eating, as well as just further embodying what this looks like for her. So first of all, hello, Jenna, and welcome back.
Well, hello. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes. So happy to have you. And if you're not familiar with Jenna's story, we'll go ahead and link her episode in the show notes. It was back in season one. We shared her testimony, her journey, her case study. But, you know, one of the things that comes up with my clients is, you know, especially when I first start working with clients, they know that they have kind of not been taking care of their health, not been making themselves priority. And then of course, all of the self-judgment and the inner dialogue that comes alongside that. And part of it is they do have to get to that point where they say, you know, enough is enough. I'm done allowing this to be my life and I'm ready to get radically committed to transforming it. And as you all know, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, I'm a big believer in like getting yourself committed. Like massive transformation does not happen if you dabble. You've got to commit. You've got to, you know, radically commit and figure out what that looks like. And so often that does involve like setting aside the time, the energy, and investing your heart and soul in committing to a new way of living, right? So that does maybe entail investing more time and energy. And then every once in a while, I'll have a conversation with a client where it's kind of the opposite, where their go-to is like, I got to go, 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 do, 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 and put pedal to the metal. And I'll say to them, whoa, I think actually what you need right now is to slow, like your definition of self-care needs to change right now in this season to slowing down, kind of recalibrating, taking your foot off the gas and really just getting refocused and regenerated and centered. And then what we always say in stressless eating is, which I borrowed from the British military, it's a British military saying, but slow is smooth, smooth is fast. I'll say it again, slow is smooth, smooth is fast. So what most people go for is they go for fast and they go for intensity and it fizzles out and we end up with that bounce back effect and we end up where we were before with interest, right? Whether that's weight, whether that's progress in anything, right? Versus what if we just focus first on smooth? What if we focus on like easy and simplicity and getting our flow? And then that is what enables us to speed up in the long run. So slow is smooth, smooth is fast, right? And as you're learning, that's how the nervous system learns anyway. So, you know, fast forward a couple of months ago, Jenna and I were having a call and it was one of those things where, and I'll allow her to share, but you know, everybody has had this kind of just whirlwind of, I was going to say a year, but really we're going on 2 years where the whole, you know, since everybody started this new world, first it was lockdown and then it was just kind of, you know, getting back into society, opening up. And now there's bits of both, like the, you know, pandemic is still full force. We're recording this episode in late September. And it's still going on. It's not, and it's not going away. So part of it is there's this new normal and we still don't know what that is, but Jenna's life has even, I mean, she's a mom and she is in the education world. So she's dealing with being a teacher and all of these things. And so it's just been a lot going on for everyone, but you know, her version of that has also been pretty crazy and hectic and unpredictable. And so when we were talking a few weeks ago or a couple months ago now at this point, it was just like one of those things where, you know, a lot of us think like when we're in a bit of a lack, when we're lacking clarity or when we feel kind of meh or when we feel kind of unmotivated, we think like, okay, I've got to do something. I've got to put pedal to the metal. I've got to go, right? I've got to up level something. And, you know, when I talked to Jenna, it was one of those things where I was like, I really feel like what you need right now is the opposite. Slow down, recalibrate, rejuvenate. And when we had that conversation and just, I gave her permission to have that way of thinking, it unlocked so many doors in her brain. It connected so many dots, and it really led her on this pathway to connecting to what she really needed. And so I wanted to bring her on the podcast and just have a conversation about that, because the truth is that there's not a lot of people talking about that. There is a lot of hustle and go, 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 and, you know, rah, rah, rah yourself up and give from an empty cup and all of these things. And to me, that's a recipe for disaster, where overwhelm is a lifestyle and hustling is a lifestyle. And not only is it exhausting, but it is not sustainable. And it takes us further and further away from being aligned with ourselves. So that being said, I'd love to just kind of turn it over to you, Jenna. So just kind of share from your perspective what that, you know, time was like for you when we started having conversations about what was the next best step for you. And when I introduced you to this idea of like, hey, what if right now this season was about rest and rejuvenation? And again, slow is smooth, smooth is fast. To just kind of share what that was like it from your perspective, what happened for you, and just kind of share with us what that journey's been like since then.
Oh yeah. So it was like a big sigh. It was like relief. Like I don't have to like add one more thing to my plate. I didn't have to like make it to where I had to struggle through a new exercise program or a new diet program or add, you know, extra homework to my life. It was just like, do the things, you know, what you need to do. And like, anytime you have a crisis, and like we have all been, I mean, at least I've been in crisis mode for a very, very long time, where schedules constantly change, there's upheaval, there's like, you know, I mean, we've all been through this. Like, this is like, I asked my mom, I was like, was this what you're going through at my age with the kids this age? She's like, oh, no, this is totally not normal. This is not, you know, what I was doing when my kids were your age. And so having to, you know, look at and sift through what's going through the crisis. And that's actually what crisis means. It means to sift. Mm. And so the things that really are important have to come up to the top. And so I had to kind of like sit on and think about the things that were really, really important. And like, there's a lot of things I have to sort of let go of, because one, I just don't have the capacity, and two, neither do my students or even my kids have that capacity.
Yeah.
And so just having that gentleness of slow is smooth, smooth is fast, like it, I feel like it's sort of my way of life now. I try to speak it into the teachers around me, like, you don't have to rush through this stuff. Like, what if you just spent a day and just worked on like the tiniest little detail of the thing you have to teach until the kids are really good at it? And, you know, like you get this idea that like more is more, and like, it's just going to be so much better. But truly, like having to be able to sift through what you're doing and really come up with the most important, most valuable things to you. It was a breath of relief, like a relief. I didn't have to push myself into a program. I got a chance to step back and like really look at my recipe of restoration. Like, how am I going to daily make myself feel like my cup is back where it should be?
Yeah.
And if it isn't, it's okay too. You know, like, so there's this constant like reevaluating what me looking restored looks like.
And you use the word gentle as you were describing it, you know, where I think a lot of women get really frustrated with themselves when they can't do more and they're tapped out and they move into shame or they move into self-criticism or judgment. So for you, can you just kind of speak about where that gentleness came from? And if there's anybody listening that tends to be a little bit harsher on themselves and gentle isn't necessarily something that they normally relate to when they treat themselves, can you just kind of speak into that a little bit and what that was like for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like before this, I was the biggest self-critic. Like I was my biggest bully. Mm-hmm. Like I could tell myself that I was XYZ, stupid, fat, ugly, you name it, right? Mm-hmm. And I catch myself now going, really? Like, who's talking? Who is this? And like, just like letting the critic no longer take over, and like really understand that the critic is fear. The critic is like me being scared to fail, or being scared of something, or just being, you know, having some anxiety towards what's going on, and like actually having that conversation, like, where is this coming from? Being curious about it. And then that's where the gentleness comes from, is like, oh yeah, yeah, this is your first time doing this. Yeah, this is a little scary. Of course you're going to feel uneasy about it. And, you know, just having these better conversations with myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I know, you know, a big part of it, again, if anybody hasn't listened to your testimony, this, a big thing for you was at first, you know, again, a couple of years ago when we first met, just getting to that point where you're like, no, I'm done being my own biggest bully. I'm done. Cause you hear you now, and like, no one would ever guess that you used to beat up on yourself, you know? So can you just kind of reflect, you know, kind of connect some dots about what that was like back, like where were you in terms of that bully conversation? And where are you now? And what do you feel like are some of the steps that kind of really helped you? Because again, it's just who you are now. You just, even when stuff's happening, mm-hmm. and you don't always have to like what's happening, but you no longer go down that road of self-condemnation and self-rejection and being an inner bully, you know? So can you kind of just speak into that for anybody who's listening to this and they're still in that place?
Oh yeah. Someone's still in that place of just feeling like they're just like the worst, or the, you know, there's like this perfectionist constantly over your shoulder. I would say the steps are, you know, one of the things I always thought about is like, what would I say to my best friend mm-hmm. in this position? Would I be telling her that she looks terrible in this outfit? Would I be telling her that like everybody's staring at that pimple on your chin? Or would I say something more encouraging to her? Mm-hmm. And obviously I would not tell my friends those things. I would, you know, and so it's having a conversation with yourself, like you're your friend and no longer your enemy. And once mm-hmm. you start listening to your body going, thank you, like I wanted to be mm-hmm. friends with you for a very long time.
Yeah.
Things shift, you know, you realize you have a partner in crime. When yes. you're in your body and in your mental health and in your soul, that you're in this together, and whatever shape she's in, whatever mm-hmm. whatever's happened to her through this pandemic, she has made you, like, she's made you live through it. And so there's a sense of honoring everything that has come at you, good and bad. Like, I mean, it's all grown you into who you are. And like, that's the most constant thing we have is change. Yeah. And it's hard for me to sometimes remember, like, I'm not going to have my high school body at 40, and that's mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. And yeah. that, like, I'm going to have a 40-year-old body at 40. And that's beautiful. You know, I think yeah. the message we get sent all the time as women is that if you're not like tight and toned and remarkable and keeping all these, like, you know, all the plates up in the air, then mm-hmm. then you're somehow failing at everything. And it's like,
yeah,
man, I don't remember my mom having that kind of pressure on her. Like, she raised kids, like they were well fed. That's all they ever worried about, did they eat? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we have all these other pressures on us, and it's like, you know, it's because honestly, like, getting into the midst of everything and having to have control, I think it's really like a control issue, mm-hmm. is really actually completely out of control.
Yeah.
You know, thinking yes. that you're controlling everything around you and everything that happens to you is actually the most out of control you could ever feel.
Yeah.
And so
absolutely.
Those
the more you try to control
myself,
it,
yeah.
The more you try to control it, the more yeah. out of control you feel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's, I think that was the point of restoration. It was like, you know, Leanne gave me that permission slip, and I had to take it and put it in my mm-hmm. pocket mm-hmm. to not have to do one more thing to mm-hmm. make my body stressed out.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Gosh, you touch on so many different things that, and it's just so cool to hear you talk about it. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, these are all the things that, I mean, you remember when we first met, like one of the first times we ever spoke, we had a little bit of like a loving come to Jesus, because there was a part of you that was like, I don't know if I can do this and I don't know if I'm ready. And cause you were so stuck in your old stories, and just to hear you speaking now and touching on all these things, I'm like, you're just preaching the stressless eating language. I'm learning from you. It's so cool. But like, you know, touching on just, you had to really create this whole new inner dialogue with yourself, but also with your body, like getting on the same page and having these realistic expectations with yourself about noticing, you know, one of my favorite SUM e-cards, if anybody's into those funny satire SUM e-cards, it's SOME and then ECARDS.com, yeah. SUM e-cards. Mm-hmm. For anybody who's listening, you'll get a giggle. But one of my favorite ones is like, I'm just trying to get back to my starting weight of 7 pounds, 9 ounces. And it just cracks me up every time, because it is, it's like, you know, I'm pushing 40 as well. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Well, actually, I'm actually a lot leaner than I was when I was in high school. I was extremely overweight in high school, but that's neither here nor there. But I'm not trying to get back to what I thought was a good looking body in high school. Like, I have these expectations, and because it's not even just about my body, but my definition of beauty has changed, you know? And so I love that you're showing like, yeah, it is. It's about waving the white flag, like really ending the war and really, like you said, you know, creating this whole new definition of what you actually desire. And, the cool thing, just to kind of brag on you for a minute, like ladies, the number one thing I hear from women, you know, obviously we all have shame about our body and food and all that when people come to the program to work with me. But one of the things that I hear often that's kind of the external shame is when they feel like they're passing it on to their children or modeling it. And so I just, you know, I'd love for you to just share a quick, you know, blurb about what happened with your daughter, because she's going through puberty, she's growing, you know what I mean? And just what you're modeling to her, and then what came out of her mouth that got reflected back to you. I was like, I was having a proud mama moment, and she's not even my daughter. So would you care to just kind of share the kinds of things, the ripple effect that this is having in your family with as you're raising children while embodying this language?
Oh yes, my daughter, she's 12. She is just who she is, man. There's no one else like her. This winter, we got them into ski lessons, and we spent a lot of time up at the ski hill. And, you know, she's growing so fast. And so one day she came up to me, she's trying on her ski pants. And she goes, Mom, my legs are too powerful for these pants. And I was so like, I don't know if I even put those sentences together. Like, I don't know if I even talked about like growing out of things, but the fact that she was so sure that she was so powerful from skiing so much that that's why her pants didn't fit, that I was like, thank God that any kind of growth that she sees in her body is because she has gotten powerful enough to grow out of it. Oh, and gosh. I was just, it was a huge proud mama moment. And it was like, yeah, it was huge.
I'm like, if all women, teens, all ages, you name it, could just embody what change happens like that and not take it so personal. Cause here's the thing, the size of her pants is not personal. We as women, we take this stuff so personally. And it becomes part of our identity. We think that it means something about the heart and soul and essence of who we are. And I just love that. I'm like, my pants are too powerful for me, as opposed to what are a lot of women saying? Oh my gosh, I'm fat. I can't believe it. What's wrong with me? What have I done? Nobody's going to like me. You fill in the blank. And again, like,
I mean,
go ahead.
At her age, I was looking at my thighs and I was like, oh my gosh, they're so big. And that's the only word I could think of, was like, they're just so big. But to give her a word like powerful and strong, I think would have changed so much for me. Yeah, I would have looked at my body as more of a mode of getting around, of a tool, of a place where I could find joy and exhilaration. rather than, you know, needing to change the size and shape so much.
Mm-hmm. It's so cool. And so ladies, if you're ever wondering if like the work that you do or your self-image or how you're talking to yourself, if it impacts, like, yeah, I know a lot of women have shame because they think it's impacting them negatively, but don't underestimate the power that you can have to influence the people that are looking at you in a direction of powerful and feeling too powerful for their pants. You know, it's just super, super cool. So yeah, back to this idea of, and thanks for letting me put you on the spot and share that. I just think it's just such a cool story. It's just stuck out to me ever since you shared it with me. But, you know, for anybody who's listening, back to this topic of really slowing down and, you know, giving yourself that permission. And I think a lot of people associate slowing down and rejuvenating and catching their breath as like weak or as a cop-out, you know? So for anyone who really knows like, hey, what I need is actually less is more. Some of you might not know what it feels like when I say like your nervous system is dying for you to take a rest. But if you are constantly, you know, fatigued and adrenalized and running around like a chicken with your head cut off and turning to food for coping mechanisms for stress and emotion and all that, there's a good chance that you might need less is more and more of the inner work and less of the outer doing, right? But for anyone who's struggling with really taking that on because they think it means that they're weak or that they're failing or whatever, could you just kind of speak into that? What do you feel like you maybe needed to hear when you didn't know what you didn't know? And could you just kind of speak into that?
Absolutely. I'm one of those that will quite literally work until I make myself sick. Mm. Like I am just overworked, overtaxed, overstressed, underslept, underfed, underhydrated, like all the extremes. I will do that, especially in times where I'm not really, I'm letting all the other things control me and I'm not like responding to in a way that I should. Yeah. And so, or I'm trying to control everything else and I'm not responding the way I should. And so I've found there's been a couple of times in this program where I've done an experiment where I literally just slept, drank water and ate good nutritional food. And like just doing that tiny bit of an experiment, you know, I don't even know. It's enough to go. I think rest should be so much more of a priority, and the hustle should actually be the one of the things that we like. We go, oh my gosh, that's disgusting. But like actually laying down, getting your body rest is just so incredibly powerful to your system. In fact, I have let myself rest so much that I actually feel like I've lost some weight. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't weighed myself, but like, I feel lighter because of, I'm not holding on up until 9 o'clock at night, all the things I need to hold on to. I'm letting myself find some rest.
Absolutely. And
that's been my biggest thing is just letting myself, find the things that I need to do to keep restoration mm-hmm. as part of my recipe, especially in this time of chaos. I've lost friends this year. I've lost family, and you know, we've all gone through so much trauma. And I'm not saying that in a dramatic way.
Yeah.
It's okay to just not be okay and let your body tell you what it needs. If you need a good cry. I've never felt so restored after a good cry. It's just so amazing. I've been putting that off for too long too.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Yeah. And so, so many golden nuggets. And what just came up for me too, is like when you were talking about how, you know, you've lost some weight, which is the weight of the weight, and how it's not about that. But also, you know, there might be some people that are there listening that are like, but Leanne, Jenna, that sounds great in theory, but I have weight to lose and I'm unhealthy and I have high blood pressure. Like I got to get on this. I got to jump on the weight loss bandwagon. I need to cut my carbs and whatever. Right. And so I actually want to like rewind you back to when we like were first working together. Within the first few weeks, you went to the doctor and you got you got some unfortunate news of like, hey, there's some numbers here that are really alarming. And we had, you know, what we call in the program, like a mini freak out, right? And we got on the phone and we coached around it. And part of it was that you were told like, hey, you're borderline pre-diabetic and we've got to get on top of this, right? And that you, the one of the reasons that you were upset was because you were experiencing so much freedom and so much just acceptance and peace. And your doctor was like, basically, we need to get you on keto and go low carb or whatever it was. I think it was that. And you were like, but that goes against what I'm like learning and the freedom that I'm creating. And so we got on the call and I said to you, and I was like, listen, disclaimer here, I'm not a medical doctor, but what if we address this from a nervous system perspective? And we went on like a nervous system health binge, so to speak, where we got your nervous system as healthy as possible using the tools that I'm giving you in the program, using food, using movement, and didn't cut out carbs. In fact, I told you, we talked about an experiment that would actually have you eating more just like healthy whole grain carbs and stuff like that, but really contributing to your health overall on a nervous system level. We kind of did the opposite of what you were told by your doctor. And it literally reversed the numbers and sent them back in the other direction. So for anybody who's kind of like, you know, but Leanne, I got to get healthy and I need, you know, can you just kind of share a little bit about what that experience was like for you and the ahas that went off for you and just kind of share that perspective? Cause you're living proof of that, you know, not to put you on the spot again.
Yeah. No, that was a couple summers ago. I did. Yeah. I got the phone call from the doctor or the nurse practitioner, whoever it was at the time, I can't remember. And she said, yeah, you just got to watch your carbs. Okay. And then that was like the end, like that's all the direction they gave me. And I was like, okay, Leanne, let's figure this out. And, you know, I did cut out some of the things that I would normally say that would be, but it wasn't drastic. I mean, mm-hmm. instead of using bread, I used like a wrap, you know, like, so like it literally was like super simple replacements. But like overall that summer, you know, I was out and about and I was living my life and I was doing the things that, you know, you do as a family. And like one thing is I wasn't stressing about it because I'm like, you know what? Stress is probably what got me here. So I'm going to do the opposite of that. And I did I mindfully was really worrying about my like you said, the nervous system. Mm-hmm. And yeah, by the 3 month mark, when you get to test, you know, your A1C again, mm-hmm. I had gotten myself out of, you know, out of that range. And it was like, just in that 3 months, you know, it seems like a really long time, but 12 weeks goes by so fast. And it was these little things of just not waiting for the weight and just being who I needed to be in the moment. Like whether it was to go for a hike with my kids, or I even tried surfing that summer. I mean, I did a lot of things that like I could have just been sitting on the couch just really sad that I am almost diabetic. Or I could just go out and just be the person who needs to be, that I needed to be, in order to be my healthiest self. And my healthiest self is always chasing adventure. Mm-hmm. You know, that I always feel better when I'm outside in nature. And, you know, there's just these things that like, you know, what you need deep inside of you, whether it's like you need to paint or you need to draw or whatever, mm-hmm. you find the thing that does bring that, parasympathetic, mm-hmm. sympathetic balance back to your body.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just, it's so encouraging for me to hear. And I'm just encouraged that other women are hearing this right now too, because again, we're the status quo. And unfortunately, and this isn't me dogging medicine or the medical community. There's some amazing doctors out there, but unfortunately the mainstream message when somebody needs to lose weight or get their numbers in check is like, okay, you need to go join CrossFit and get on keto. And like, it's this, again, the do more, do more, do more. And it's never addressing the cause, let alone the fact that the last time you went on keto didn't stick, and not you, I mean, people in general. And we really, in that case too, we took a less is more approach. We literally said, how can we get your nervous system as healthy as possible? Which anybody, again, who's heard me talk about the nervous system, it's a smarter, not harder system, right? And so again, anyone who's saying like, but yeah, Leanne, this all sounds great in theory, but I have some health stuff I need to take care of. Yeah, it's the same approach, right? Not to mention a more gracious, graceful, loving, compassionate journey while you go. And again, I get it. For a lot of women listening, hopefully it's not as much for the women that are listening, but for a lot of women in general, it's like, yeah, that's not as sexy as lose 30 pounds in 30 seconds. I get it. But it's like, we're having forever conversations here. We're having like lifelong transformational conversations, not just short-term change. And that's why Jenna's able to sit here and, you know, she went through the program 2 years ago, you know, and she's still just living this life. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring her on and just, you know, kind of show you all what life is like through the eyes of like, we're not dealing with the stuff that we were dealing with 2 years ago. It's different, but it's also the same. And it all transpires. It all transfers is what I meant to say. It all also transpires, but it all transfers over because when you have a system of thinking and principles that are guiding you, they meet you where you are. So thank you for letting me put you on the spot. Anything else that's kind of come up for you? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, one more thing. You were talking about how there's a Band-Aid sort of mentality, sort of like, just I'll get my health back if I just do this diet, or I have to focus on just this one part. And you focus so much on the fact that it's the whole, you know, it's all of it. Like when you focus on just the diet, it would be like going to, you know, a doctor and only ever talking about one arm. You're like, but I got the whole rest of me here. And because it really is that much. It really is like a spiritual, emotional, mental, totally tangible and intangible kind of roller coaster you can get yourself on. And I would say that's absolutely where you need to start, is right in that area, because you're not really going to be able to move the dial if you're only focusing on your arm. Like the rest of your body, or the rest of the metaphor has to follow through. It has to be a holistic approach. And so that's one thing I wanted to add to that, is that there's more, like you said, there's it's just more. It can't be just your arm. It's just not going to be that.
Such a good metaphor. Yeah. And it's like, I say this all the time, and you said it even better than I say it. Like it's not a food problem. It's not a body problem. It's our thoughts about the food. It's our paradigm that we're seeing our bodies through. It's that lens, the story, the goggles. And until we change that, you can lose weight and, you know, get air quotes fit or in shape. But if you don't address that other stuff, you're not going to enjoy who you are when you get there, if you're even able to stay there very long, because of that bounce back effect. But also again, like, you know, let's say you go lose a bunch of weight and get the air quotes, you know, dream body that you ever wanted. Like if you're not happy with what you're seeing and who you're being, you're going to bring all of that stuff with you. Because again, it's not your arm, as Jenna said, it's the arm is just the symptom of what's going on at the rest of you. And you have a heart and a soul and a spirit. And 99% of the women that come to me that are overeating or binge eating or stress eating, or the opposite, their coping mechanism is dieting, restricting, controlling. It's not logical. It's not about the food. It's all this other stuff that's causing them to reach for food or strangle control, and try to muster up willpower and control to discipline themselves. It's not logical. You can't solve an emotional problem with logic, you know, and you definitely can't address the entire whole when you are, like Jenna said, just looking at a little piece of the puzzle, the piece that really is just a symptom of what's going on upstream. So cool. Thank you so much for just sharing your heart. Let me put you on the spot and just being so vulnerable and sharing what this journey is and what it isn't, because, you know, it's really helpful. You know, that's why I love bringing guests on this podcast, because I don't want people to take my word for it. I want you all to hear from other women who have been there, been through the fire and seen what it's like on the other side. And, again, Jenna is just the epitome of just living this. Like I always tell people before they even come to work with me is like, are you ready to create this lifelong transformation? And it's not about who you want to be right now. It's about who do you want to be a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Let's get optimistic when you're 100, you know what I mean? And really get carve that out now so that you have it forever. So thanks for just doing the work, showing up, and thanks for sharing your heart so openly and honestly with this community and showing us what the reality of this.
Yeah, of course. Anytime you want me to talk about anything, I'm here for you.
Okay. You heard it, ladies and gentlemen. She just committed to coming back. Okay. Thank you. That's the only reason I wanted you on here to just to, you know, trick you into coming back. So we got it. Mission. I love it.
You got me for life, baby. Got me for life whenever you need
me. Amen. And you've got you for life now too, which is the cool thing, you know?
Exactly. It's true. It's absolutely true.
I love it. Well, thank you for being here. Thanks for listening, ladies. We will go ahead and link Jenna's case study in the show notes. Thanks for being here, and we will see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.